Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
There we go. Oh, that's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Good news. Let the good news be the good news. Well, welcome. Good to see everybody here. If you're here for the first time, if you're new at Living Waters, you've never been here before, would you mind raising your hand and just letting us see you? Oh, there's a young feller back there. Hi, Matt. A couple of people back here. Hi, welcome. Welcome. We just trust that you'll be touched. We really believe that God is a God who wants to encounter people in a very, very tangible and significant way. A couple of weeks ago, I had one young lady come up to me and said, you know, I just don't feel God like everybody else seems to feel God. And that's okay. That's all right. Not everybody here this morning felt God in the same way that I felt God, or I didn't feel God the same way that many of you felt God. And it's not about that. It's about understanding. It's about something deeper. That is just a revelatory understanding of the relationship that God wants to have with us. But we do trust, we value a God that can be approached. We value a God that can be talked to, that can come and minister to our needs and get into the deepest part of us, that can set us free. So we just love it all. We love it all. Well, you know, announcements, they didn't get the video announcements up, so I forgot to look to see what's important to announce here. Leslie, what's important here? Back to Pastor Dave. That's scary. You know what? Let's read together. Let's read the prayer focus for the week. Open up your bulletins. And I'm going to leave it up to you to read the rest of it. And we're going to read the prayer focus for the week. Every week, Leslie puts in a prayer focus. Sometimes a prayer focus is run for a couple of weeks, but they're always good. So let's read it together. God, we are asking for a divine citywide move of visitations and revelation about Jesus, your Son, to woo us into a deeper relationship with you. That's good. Let's read it again. Let's read it like we mean it. Let's just really... How many can really get on board with this? Can we do that? Let's pray it like we mean it. God, we're asking for a divine citywide move of visitations and revelation about Jesus, your Son, to woo us into deeper relationship with you. Amen. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, kids, you can be released to your children's church. How many appreciate the kids? Yeah, powerful, powerful bunch of youngins there. Learning to prophesy, learning to heal the sick. Learning that the Holy Spirit in them is powerful. Thank you, Lord. Tom, come on up and take an offering.
For those of you who are new, you want to take out this visitor packet from the bulletin and fill it out for us. We'd be love to answer any questions you might have or any of that kind of stuff. Also, if you have any prayer requests, you might put those in the basket as it comes around. Real quickly, I'd like you to turn to the person on your right and on your left and tell them, thank you for blessing me.
Thank you for blessing me.
And Aaron and I want to say thanks to our family out here for blessing us so much. Oh, yes. And, of course, anybody who needs an envelope for the offering. I always forget that because I have mine. No, I'm just kidding. I've been kind of in a wrestling match this morning with the Lord early on, and because I've really been seeking the Lord all week long. I've been looking for the word he wanted me to give this morning, a short, brief word. And boy, I tell you, until 4:30 this morning, I didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, I got it. And then I couldn't shut it off. But the Lord started out, and he said, remember what Leslie said last Sunday about me working with her in her mindset. And I went, yeah, you're working with me in mindset too, and I'm sure each of you out here are experiencing maybe the same thing. But I want you to know something, that is exactly what God wanted to tell his children. He said to me, almost screamed it out to me, take me out of the box, please. Please take me out of the box. I am so sick and tired of hearing why I can't do something or why you can't do something. It's time for us to say, you know what? I'm willing to think about this a different way. I'm willing to pray about it a different way. And I look at what I'm going to paraphrase this. Peter and John were on the way to Living Waters Church for a Saturday night prayer meeting, okay? And they come bouncing up the parking lot, and they come to the door, and there's an old guy laying down there, kind of crippled up with a basket, looking for something for food, I suppose, or whatever. And they said, you know, guy, we don't have any coin. We're flush out of money. But what we have imparted to us, here's my paraphrase, through his stripes, by the blood on the cross, the resurrection, Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And then come on and join us for the prayer meeting. That actually happened. And do you know that actually happened here at this church? And I'm really bad on dates. But when Glena and Gregory came from the Ukraine, right over there, they prayed for a man who's been confined to a wheelchair for like 15 or 16 years, I think, because of a horrific car accident. But this man, in his heart, believed that someday he was going to rise up out of that wheelchair. It happened right there, and he did. And he went running around. I remember John had a little sign on the wheelchair, for sale or rent, whatever. I love that. God says, that is something that's out of my box. I talked to Walt Bardell many years ago, not too many years ago. I said, Walt, how did you ever have the courage to pray for a wife? And Walt said, well, God just told me I was to pray for a wife. He said, I was getting, you know, it's been a long time, Tom. It was over like 20-some years. I kept praying for a wife. And he said, but God kept saying, pray for a wife. Now, everybody said, don't be brokenhearted. Well, God can be your wife and all these different things that people would say out of their heart. But the truth was, God planted in Walt's heart he was going to have a wife. Does he have a wife? Yeah, he's got a wife, a wonderful wife. Oh, and a family. Yeah, that wasn't possible. But see, God says, I'm the God of the impossible. The thing that the Lord impressed upon me this morning is my people keep looking at lack, the lack of, fill in the blank, the lack of, the lack of, the lack of. The truth is, there's always going to be lack, just like the poor will always be with us. But the lack doesn't mean that you won't eat, that you won't sleep, that you won't have good health. Everybody in this room, I know, has got a myriad of testimonies that could talk about how God has met you a special way in a special place. God out of the box. And I have a God out of the box story for you. We have a bridal bush in our garden. A bridal bush, as you gardeners know, that in about June, sometime around there, it blooms with these beautiful white flowers, tiny thousands of them. Mine is just, it's unbelievable how many it is. Well, 2 weeks ago, Aaron and I have a prayer couch in our bedroom, and we have our coffee and our prayer time together in the morning, and I happen to look out the bush, and I go, Aaron, part of the bush is still green. Now, we've had frost, we've had cold weather, And I said, that's amazing. So I just let it pass. And the next morning, it got down to like, I don't know, zero. And it's still green. But it's funny. It's a bridal bush. Now, who's the bride of Christ? Okay, now I'm not nuts, but here's what we are the bride of Christ. I finally can see myself as a bride. Anyway, but the whole bush is not green. You know the only part that's green, the only green, the leaves, I've gone out there, and these are leaves that are green, just as green as they would be in June or July. You know what it is? The part that faces the sun in the wintertime, it gets that little sunshine, that's the part of the bush where the leaves are green. The other part of the bush, it's all part of the same bush, same part of the same bride, they're dormant. They're waiting until springtime and warm weather. Now, the Lord said that this is what Aaron and I talked. We look at that as hope. And if we keep ourselves focused on the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, but in reality it's the Son from here too. But if you focus on the Son, he says, you'll have my glow about you. You'll have my glow. And you'll look like you're alive, even if you don't feel like you're alive. And so I want to pass that off to you this morning, that this is what it's about. And the Lord said, it's not always about money. The world looks at money. He says, my people hopefully look at something different. Yes, we all need money. But here is a definition for you, and I'll close with prayer. Here's a definition that, this is Aaron's dad's Bible. There's about 80 years worth of his word. He studied, but he had a definition in here. I saw it this morning early again. I saw this definition of prosperity. He said, prosperity is when you have enough faith to do what God's called you to do. And people in this room know what that is. So, Father, first of all, we just want to ask you to forgive us for keeping you stuffed in some box somewhere. But forgive us, Father, for our self-talk sometimes that limits what you can do in our lives and the lives of our family. Lord, we receive that forgiveness and we thank you for it. We ask you, Lord, you bless this offering to your kingdom. And Father, keep us looking to you. And we thank you for that love that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Just a couple more things we want to do. Alice is preaching today. Woo. One of my favorite ministers in all the world.
Wow.
Alice. And we did switch microphones. Glad you caught that. Leslie, you've got a little something that you want to talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't know about this until 5 minutes ago. So last week, you blessed Teresa Denny with an offering to help her as she's moving from being homeless to into home. And it just even is not only just homeless in her in circumstances, but just that knowing that she's God's special girl. So she wrote us a thank you card. So she wanted me to read it for you, okay? So this is we give thanks to Living Waters Church. It says, we are grateful. We give thanks for the abundance of prayers that have been poured over us. We give thanks for helping us carry our weight of heavy burdens. We give thanks for walking with us in our time of need. We give thanks for the thoughts and support we've received from all who have not even known us. We give thanks for your warmth and tenderness that has showered over us like an endless waterfall of love. Your compassion for our family has tremendously touched and enlightened our lives. Thank you, Teresa. And then Alyssa, Kobe, Stacia, Tyler, and Aaliyah. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to say it wrong. So thank you from them. Keep praying for them.
Amen. That's awesome. That is a life that's being changed by your generosity. By the way, I don't want to embarrass Teresa, but you guys gave $2,200, $2,204 last week. It's your generosity. You know, I don't know how many times I've been able to just stand here and thank you for your generosity, but you are a generous people. And I'm just, you know, thank you for being who you are. Alice.
All right.
All right. Let's give Alice a hand.
I remember the first time I preached, I was 14 years old at a Lutheran church, and it was Youth Sunday, and we went and camped, and we all knew that there's no way that we were going to be able to do the whole sermon. So we split it in three. We taught on the Lord's Prayer. The first two girls each did 2 minutes apiece, and then I did 12. So, yeah, 12. But I tell you, it took me hours. I remember sitting in that basement and working on that, my dad's desk downstairs, and loved preaching ever since. So I wanted to just share a couple of things this morning, even before I begin to preach. You never know what fruit people are going to eat from your tree. And for several years, some of you knew that know that I worked at Boston Scientific as a contract worker. Am I?
Just a little bit.
Skirt all the way up the zipper. Zip. Okay, am I good? He's good though. Okay. You know, it's really harder for women to preach because they wear earrings that hurt their ears and all that sort of thing. Oh, I forgot the center part of this. At any rate, this the woman that was sort of my contact person there, every once in a while, she and I would go to lunch, and Boston Scientific is pretty big, but I really tried to make relationship with her. And I, of course, what did I like to talk about? Talked about the Lord. And one day, out of the blue, I don't know why I said this. This was about 2 years ago. And I said out of the blue, I said, you know, one time I was driving on a slippery, snowy road, and I started to head into the ditch, and I called out, Jesus! And my car supernaturally went from heading toward the ditch to sliding this way back onto the road. And she looked at me and blinked, smiled. I got a card from her yesterday that said, do you remember when you shared that story with me, that same thing happened to me this winter. She said it was miraculous. I've never felt anything like it. And so you never know what fruit is going to come from anything you've done. So it's really exciting. So let's pray before we start. And Father, you are generous and gracious. And Father, I thank you that even sometimes we do more things accidentally than we do on purpose. But Father, we want a purpose to do what you've called us to do. We want a purpose to know you. We want a purpose to know your character. We want a purpose, Lord God, to walk with you, to be comfortable with you, to not be afraid of you and yet fear you and believe that you're serious, but believe that you're full of joy. Help us to know you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that your words would be spoken this morning and that you would change our lives today again. Yes. And then would you change our lives again tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Change our lives every day, Lord God, from glory to glory. We need you, Father. We're desperate for you. And we'd love to sit with you, Lord God. We'd love to walk with you. Teach us more about that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of you may know that I'm a vegan. So it may surprise you to know that I have recently gotten from Burger King my life message. So Henry, would you? There it is. Ignore the first part. Forget, for anybody who didn't have breakfast, ignore 2 croissants for $3. Wake up with the king. I finally figured out my life message. If I wake up with the king, if I walk with him all through the day, if I go to bed at night with the king and wake up with him again, then that solves a lot of issues. And I'm firmly convinced that one of the reasons that we have so many struggles, and when I say we, that means us all, including me, that we have so many struggles is we don't understand the character of God. We've blamed him for things. We've accused him of having a character different than he really has. And when I was teaching English, I used to teach Greek and Roman mythology. And if you know anything about Greek and Roman mythology, they have some really crazy stories. Zeus, for example. Zeus was kind of the head god. He was the sky god. And Zeus was wicked. He was unfaithful to the several wives he had. And then Hera was one of his wives, and she would trick his girlfriends, and she would change them into something and torture them. And Zeus was always, you had to please him. And then there were other gods that would throw lightning bolts. Actually, that was Zeus, would throw lightning bolts from the sky, and you had to really be on top of it. And sometimes you would please the gods if you were wicked along with them, and sometimes you would please the gods if you weren't wicked. And one of the stories that I think is very interesting is Prometheus and Epimetheus were supposedly the ones that created all of the animals. And Epimetheus had the job of creating the animals. So he gave them all the good stuff. He gave them ability to run fast. He gave them wings. He gave them ability to fly. He gave them fur. He gave them craftiness. He gave them all of these kinds of things. And then it came time for Prometheus to make man, and they realized that all the good stuff had been given to animals. So, in debating what he was going to do with that, he decided the only two things that he had left to give people was the ability to walk upright like the gods and fire. Well, Zeus and he had a fight, and because they had a fight and Prometheus tricked Zeus, then he took fire away from man again and on and on and on. And it's very interesting, I think, to study mythology, because here's what has happened in mythology. Now, I even taught mythology at a Christian school. And sometimes people would say, why do you teach mythology? That's, a pagan religion. Of course it is. But to me, it always proved the reality of a real God. Because what happened in mythology is that people created gods in their image. Jealous and angry. Always needing to be pleased. And if you don't please him exactly right, then you're going to be in trouble. And even though we're 21st century Christians, we have in many ways created God in our own image. And that's what I call this teaching today, is creating God. Because we've had so many troubles because we view him like we view people. Whether it's your father or your mother or people around you or even yourself. God forbid that God is created in my image. But we have gotten so many problems because we've created God in our image and we've looked to people to confirm something about God. And we are in a stage in this church and in many, many churches around the world where we are looking for the new. Well, this isn't new because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But the revelation of who God really is new. If you would have told me 40 years ago, when I was in the little church that I was in with my family, that God is always good, I would have probably argued with you. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer now. But I didn't believe that he was always good. I believed that he was a lot of times mad. And even when I became a believer, I believed that he was often angry at me, that he was often displeased with me. And so what does that do to your faith? What does that do to you in wanting to be close to a God like that, that has all of your stinking characteristics? Yuck. You know? Or the characteristics of anybody you know. Why would you be drawn to somebody like that? And we have had such a twisted idea of who God is and how gracious he is and how generous he is and how kind he is and how much he loves us. And people will say, yeah, but look what's happening in my life. Those things haven't manifested in my life. I have been struggling with such and such. I've been struggling with this. It doesn't matter. It's still true. Because God is always good, and God is always kind, and he's always generous. He always wants to heal. He always wants to do right by us. He's always just. And because we have created God in our own images, we feel distant from him. And it affects our relationships with people. It certainly affects our relationship with him. And I would encourage you, we're going to do a little bit of this today, but I would encourage you, if you haven't already done this, to do a study on the characteristics of God. And I like to go through my Bible, and I was really touched. Where's Tom? Oh. And I was touched with what he said about his father-in-law's Bible. I think that could be one of the greatest inheritances we give to somebody when we go, is to give them our Bible with all the notes and all the revelation that we have. I think that's so awesome. But if you haven't already done this, start studying the characteristics of God. It will make you like him better. Because I have to tell you, even before I knew Jesus, I loved God, but I was terrified of him. And I just knew that someday I was going to be just this little pile of burned up crud someplace because I could never please him. And what I like to do with my Bible is I like to go through and mark in here. One of the things I always mark, which will be no surprise to any of you, is anytime it mentions nations. And the other thing I like to do is when it mentions a promise, I write promise by it. But I really like to write in here about the characteristics of God. Because when you understand who God is, he's that much more approachable. Yes, God is big. Yes, God is huge, and he has shown anger. I remember one time Bob preached on our concept of an Old Testament God, if any of you remember that. He preached about how we have, now the God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's very true. But because of salvation, because of Jesus dying on the cross, things have changed. God hasn't changed, but our perception of God, our revelation of God, and how he is manifesting is changed in this time. It's changed in this time. If you think about your own walk, think about the revelations you've gotten about who God is. I mean, really, can you say that from 10 years ago, if you've been saved for a while, or 20 years ago, that your perception of God is so very different? And you've only scratched the surface because he is infinite. And you've only scratched the surface about how wonderful he is and who he is. And that's awesome. Well, aside from the fact that we've created God in our own image from mythology, there's somebody else that we've sort of created God in the image of. Very appropriate for this season. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's been naughty and nice. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Jesus Christ is coming back. And it's so ridiculous. But I heard that actually on the radio yesterday, and I started to laugh. And I thought, how many times have we felt that? I remember sitting in Sunday school, and we would hear about, you know, about the last days and trials and tribulations. And I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was 26. But I faithfully went to church and Sunday school and Bible school and all of this sort of thing. But I didn't have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I used to sit there and think, because we were focused on, you know, someday the ceilings are going to open up and some will be taken and some will be left behind. And I was just going, man, I wonder what I'm going to do when I'm here by myself. And I'm a pretty social person, so that really made me fret a bit. But I didn't have revelation. I thought of God sort of like Santa Claus. If you're really good, then he's going to bless you. If you're really good, if you are good at, there he is right now. You better watch out, Henry. You better not cry and you better not pout. But having the revelation that Jesus the Christ is not Santa Claus. It's not based on your goodness. I have learned not to ever pray for people's healing based on their goodness, because they will be so much in trouble. Because I've shared this before. I've had people pray for me before. Oh, Lord, Alice does so much for your kingdom. Would you please heal her? I'm like, great. Now if I slip, then it's all dependent upon me. And my healing is not dependent upon me and my goodness. And I don't have to watch out and not cry. And I probably shouldn't pout, but sometimes I do. But Jesus can even take care of that. He can adjust an attitude, even in that. And we have so focused on what we are capable of and what we have to offer God instead of what he has to offer us. And it's so twisted. It's so twisted. And it is our human nature. And I thought Dave was going to preach my sermon because he had touched this morning. It is such a wonderful confirmation that I was on the right track of what the Lord had shown me. In fact, I was going to preach on fear today. And yesterday the Lord gave me this word. But we are so focused sometimes on our abilities. And that's pride. That's making ourselves our own God. That's creating God in our image. And one of the things that we're going to do today is we're going to repent for that. I think such an incredibly valuable thing for us to do is to repent. And you know I do prayer ministry, and a lot of times we lead people through repentance because it releases something. Because we've all accused God. I've said myself, God, you know I'm doing all these things. Why do I have health issues? Well, my health issues have nothing to do with him in the first place and have nothing to do with my righteousness or unrighteousness. Now, the wages of sin are death, and some of the issues I have come from sin. But God is clearing the way. He made a way. He already did what he said he was going to do. And his blood covers it all. And the name of Jesus is above every name, every sickness, every weakness, every issue in your family, every financial issue, whatever it is, every job issue. The name of Jesus is higher than unemployment or underemployment. The name of Jesus is higher than any lack. The name of Jesus is what is doing it. And even if it hasn't manifested to you yet, that doesn't mean it's not real. Even if the promises haven't been manifested in your life, doesn't mean that he lied.
That's right.
He's not like a Greek or Roman god who tricks you, who pulls you in, and then changes his mind. The word even says, who is God that he should lie? He never lies. He never tricks us. He never sets us up. It's our perception that's off kilter if we feel like God's lied to us. It's our perception that's not right. And sometimes we have problems knowing Father God because of our own issues with perhaps our own fathers, male authorities, sometimes female authorities. I believe that if you're looking at the Trinity, I believe that if people have, I like to ask people, who do you identify the most with in the Trinity? And their answer will help me to identify what some of the issues are. Because, of course, the Father is very often represented by the Father on earth or male authorities. The Holy Spirit is very often connected to mothers and female authorities. And Jesus is connected with siblings and friends. And sometimes people can't get to one part of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity, because of those kinds of issues that they need to be healed with. If you had issues with your dad, and we're going to go through some prayers today. If you had issues with your dad, it would be hard to connect sometimes until you get a healing and you open yourself up to trust somebody who is a dad. And I see lots of dad issues. The enemy, if you don't know it, has been hard at work creating fatherlessness around the world since the beginning of time. And if you look at nations that are really in that have really been destroyed, there's an incredible amount of fatherlessness. I saw it in action when I was in Uganda. In Uganda, where there is fatherlessness created by polygamy. I was there, I think, 3 years ago now, and every one of the boys that I ministered to, boys and young men, every one of them, their dad had multiple wives. So what would happen, contrary to what people would say, well, you know, polygamy might be a good thing, then everybody gets taken care of. That's a lie. Yeah. That's a lie, because this is what happens. A man marries a young woman and has a family with her. She starts being this mom and, you know, things are happening. He gets somebody else. So it's just lateral polygamy that he just gets rid of this wife and goes to another one. So here are all these abandoned children in that way. There are many people in our nation who have been abandoned by fathers because the fathers are consumed with work. They're in the home.
And if anybody needs prayer, come on up.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in our area or plan on traveling to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.